Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Hello, Baldy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you. How are y'all doing?
Well, we are on the verge of losing our baseball season and the football. And the football team lost their.
You just got to go to L.A. tomorrow and win two. You know, don't let Teoscar Hernandez belt one out of the park. You know, in the seventh inning or something, man. Like, just answer the bell. Like, just start get to wake the bats up, man. They'd be all right.
That's all. All they got to do is win two baseball games. They won 96 of them this year. Just win two more.
Just win two out there.
Yeah. So Baldy, the short week for the Eagles, you know, lose that game on Sunday and then play tomorrow against the Giants. So we're 5 weeks in, and for all of the be patient, I think 5 weeks in is enough to look at the offense and say, this does not feel right. So what do you think, if you were to pinpoint, I guess, the hierarchy of reasons that they're not able to move the ball consistently, what is at the top and then what's after that?
It'd be good if, I guess it starts with the run game. It always starts with the run game. You want to take the best running back in all of football last year and have the best season he's ever had, and now he's on pace for the worst season he's ever had. Like, that's got to change up front. And, you know, they had one good run the other day, and they never went back to it. They only had six runs. They didn't, hand it off to them in the fourth quarter when they had the lead. But, I think the running game, it starts there. Like, that's got to get fixed, because that's 5 weeks now where he just has been, he can't get out of the gate right now. So that's a problem. And, the center hasn't played well. The tight ends can't block outside of, Goddard. So, like, they got to fix some things there. And then I would say the passing game, it's got to find some kind of rhythm, the passing game is horrible. And so just the design of it is bad, but I'm not sure what the quarterback is doing at this point, especially last week. You just can't drop back and hold the ball and just wait for something to happen. I played with Randall Cunningham, and I loved Randall. Randall was an awesome athlete, but Randall only threw it if the receiver was open and he was looking at him. But that's not the way the game is played. You got to throw the ball with anticipation. You got to throw it. You got to throw receivers open. Guys are going to be covered in this league. You're not going to get 3 yards of separation against Patrick Surtain. But, the ball's got to be thrown on time. And there's very little rhythm and timing to the offense right now, especially in the passing game.
So the first thing you mentioned was the run game. Is that simply an offensive line is just not performing at the level they were last year?
Well, a little bit spiked. But, I mean, like last week, Denver just said, they challenged the Eagles. I mean, they lined up basically in a nine-man box. There was, Hufanga was sitting in there, and, they had unblocked guys. And they were saying, you got to throw it in order to get us out of this look. And so that's what the Eagles did. And, but you got to run them out of it, too. You got to find some runs that can work. But it's been week to week to week where they just haven't, even in looks where the safeties are 15 yards deep, they're still not running it well. So it starts up front. You can say the tight ends and this and missing a block here and they're close, all that stuff they'll say. But, they got to get better movement at the point of attack right now than what they're getting.
Baldy, it appears a lot of this is due to, not being physically themselves. How much do you think that is playing in this? Lane played his first full game, I believe, since week one or week two. You mentioned Cam. He had back surgery this offseason. Dickerson, he's been a warrior out there trying to fight through it. Look like he's going to finally try to rest and heal up. How much of this is due to physical or the lack of physical ability they have right now as a unit?
Well, I mean, I think there's credibility to that point. Like, there's no question that Landon Dickerson isn't the Pro Bowl guard that he was a year ago for much of the season. He hasn't played like that, and he is ailing. The center had troubles with DJ Jones last week, but he's had some problems this year. Mm-hmm. And Lane was fine. Lane, I mean, I know he's had the stinger and all that, but I mean, he's fine. He's playing good football. You can't block longer than those guys are blocking in some of the passing plays that I saw last week. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the Cowboys blew out the Jets on Sunday. They played four backup offensive linemen, and they looked awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we love Stout. Stout, has been doing this a long time here. Since he came in with Lane together, with Chip, and he's been doing it a long time, and he's great at what he does. But that really, the excuses of okay, here comes the backup guard, and here comes this, that doesn't really fly. You the next guy up has to be able to handle guys up front right now, or find runs that they could be better at than what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
So, Baldy, you mentioned the issues with the passing. It's all tied together. It's hard to separate all of it. And I think you'll be able to explain this to me and to the listeners. What we've seen the last 2 weeks from a defense in the second half, because Tampa did sort of a similar thing as Denver, is they don't blitz anymore, and they're playing a lot of zone. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll bring in an extra guy, but then they'll drop one of their linemen. And what is the solution to that? Because it can't just be that is a defense that we can't beat. We can't just not be able to beat a zone defense where they're not bringing extra guys. How do they fix that? What do they do? What is the solution to that?
You're saying against a defense that's not blitzing?
Well, against like a defense that is just sort of dropping back and playing zone and maybe not blitzing, but maybe bringing a safety and then dropping a lineman into coverage or dropping a simulated blitz. What is the solution to that?
Simulated blitz,
for the Eagles offense to beat that?
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, your receivers have to win one-on-ones.
Okay.
You've got to be able to – I mean, it's not a secret,
Yep.
I mean, you saw Courtland Sutton, what he did to Quinyon Mitchell, especially in the fourth quarter. He beat him every time.
Yep.
And so even if the guy is draped on you, if you're a number one wide receiver, you're used to that. You're just out-muscle guy. You do what A.J. is capable of doing. You do what Jamar Chase does every week. Like, you just win that battle. A.J. did it against the Rams in the fourth quarter. But, ultimately, your receivers have to win, and your quarterback has to trust that he's going to win. Now, the quarterback is the only quarterback in the league that hasn't thrown an interception, and it looks like he lives in fear of throwing an interception. And I just don't think you can play with fear, especially if you have as talented receivers as the Eagles have. I think you got to put it out there and throw it and let them go get it and make a play on it. But I don't think you can hold it and say, okay, I'm not going to turn it over, because that just leads to, a poor field position and the defense gets extra at-bats. But I think that's a part of it right now. You just can't play to not make mistakes. And I think that's a little bit of what Jalen's doing.
So we have the Giants tomorrow night. That is not a good football team. But if is there anything that they do well that the Eagles could be susceptible to that will make this game more difficult than it should be?
Well, I mean, they do have excellent pass rushers. I mean, Brian Burns is having a great season. And, the Denver has good pass rushers, but, Brian Burns, Kayvon, this rookie Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence, I mean, it's a good front. Against the Chargers 2 weeks ago, they hit Justin Herbert 13 times in that game, and they won that game. And they physically beat him up pretty good. So, I mean, they can do that. They weren't particularly good at it against New Orleans on Sunday, and they did turn it over three times, which cost them the game. So, they've got a very limited passing attack. There's no Malik Nabers. The quarterback is a rookie, and he looks like a rookie sometimes. But he's a good athlete. He plays the game fearlessly. But, they lost three fumbles, and they lost to the Saints because of it last week. But, they do have a rookie running back that's very powerful in Scataboo, breaks a lot of tackles. They got a decent offensive line. But ultimately, if they can get a lead at some point and turn their front loose, they could possibly make a game out of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Eagles, Baldy, from an offensive standpoint. I don't know what game plan they go into this game with tomorrow. Are they going to come out trying to throw the ball again, or do they try to establish the run in this game as far as what can they take advantage of this Giants defense at?
Well, they haven't been particularly good against the run this year. I mean, you look at what the Saints did last week. They're 27, 28, 29th and, stopping the run right now. Dexter Lawrence hasn't been the monster that he has been in the past. They're a little thin at defensive tackle. Like, they haven't been particularly good against the run. They lost two inside linebackers since the start of the season, so I'm not sure who's in there right now. Okereke is still there, but, guy playing next to him, Muasau, or, pick a guy, they're all been, banged up. So, they're not particularly good in the run fits and what they're doing up front, but, I mean, that's something I would try to I'm sure Saquon wants to go up there into that stadium and, remind them of what they did, when they didn't give him a contract 2 years ago. So I'm sure he'd love to, pay them a nice visit tomorrow night.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Baldy. Well, we will talk to you next week. We thank you as always.
Appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure, guys. You got it.
There is Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Here is the sole concern with the Giants, and he mentioned it. Again, not a good football team. There's no reason why the team should score more than 13 points against the Eagles tomorrow. The concern is, so Abdul Carter leads the league in hurries.
He does?
He does.
Really?
He does.
I thought he's having like a down.
Yeah, I ain't really seen him do anything.
Is he getting sacks?
But he's not getting sacks.
So no sacks, but a lot of hurries.
Yeah, and Brian Burns is playing well. Sexy Dexy in the middle. Mm-hmm. Is that they, if our bugaboo, if our problem is getting rid of the ball quickly, that team forces you to get rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
And that is why, man, if there is one game that we have to get the run game going, it is tomorrow. Because they can get pressure without blitzing anyone. They don't have to blitz anyone to get pressure. The Giants do. That's the only thing, is that this ends up being, I could foresee this being some sort of awful, ugly 16-10 Eagles win, because we're just not able to get the pass game going at all. I just don't, I can't imagine, unless we turn it over, this is one of those games.
Yeah.
Unless we turn it over, I cannot foresee a way the Giants win this football game because I don't think they're going to score enough points.
Right.
But man, we need to run the ball well tomorrow. We absolutely need to run the ball well tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if they are this poor against the run, this should be a game that we lean on the run game and try to get Saquon going. You know he's going to have the extra juice on a Thursday night, nationally televised game, going back up there. He got his documentary coming out tomorrow.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot surrounding him going back to New York. Man, I don't know why they got so far away from the run game last week, this past Sunday. I don't know what it was. Something tells me they had enough receivers in their ear. Yeah. About wanting to throw the ball. You can't allow that to affect the game plan.
Especially not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not That's what
tomorrow.
I'm saying. Like, yeah, you gotta get back to doing, you gotta at least have a balanced attack.
Yep.
Yeah, at least have a balanced attack. I mean, that thing was so lopsided Sunday. Yeah.
We can't lose to the Giants.
They're not gonna lose to the Giants. It's gonna be tight, but they're not gonna lose.
I don't think they're gonna lose to the Giants. The report came, or not report, it's in the documentary, I guess, that Saquon went to the Giants in 23 when they weren't able to come up with a contract and asked for a trade. Mm-hmm. And John Mara said that did not allow them to go and look for a trade.
During the season?
It was prior to the season when they were. So I know I can understand the Giants saying no. You're under contract here, you know. But I think there's probably more to that Giants thing than that. That is another thing that we didn't know about. That, you know, that Giants thing we didn't know about.
You would think if they were never intending on re-signing him, they could have did him a solid by just trading him.
Yeah. Well, but then we know John Mara didn't want to get rid of him anyway. You know.
I know, but I'm saying. But then you should have re-signed him.
Yes, yeah.
That way you could at least got something in return for him.
Yeah.
Also, the Daniel Jones turning into this is a way worse look for the franchise than the Saquon.
Way worse look than the Saquon move.
Especially for a guy who is supposed to be the reason why, one of the reasons why Josh Allen developed in Brian Daboll.
Totally.
Right?
They should get over the Saquon thing. Like, he's a great player in a bad situation. Daniel Jones is turning into an MVP-ish type candidate for just a new different offensive coordinator.
I do believe that hurts more than the Saquon. They've already reconciled with the Saquon thing. Like, the Daniel Jones playing well in Indy?
Yeah.
I would imagine Giants fans aren't handling that well. I mean, they like Jackson Dart, though.
They do. They do.
For now.
Yeah. They like him because he's not Russell Wilson.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I also think Giants fans look at Daniel Jones and they still don't buy it. I think they always bought it.
I don't even buy it.
Well, of course not. No one does. But, like, at least they knew Saquon was great.
Yes.
They knew Saquon was great, and they felt like he's misused there, so they're probably still more mad about Saquon. I just think the Danny Dimes thing is a way more bigger indictment on Daboll and the coaching staff.
Well, and you can talk yourself into that. There is some legitimacy to the fact that they weren't going to be a good football team, paying a bunch of money to a running back when you're not a good football team. I get it, that part. But if they let a franchise quarterback go, who not only they drafted, but they did pay, and then after paying him, decided they didn't want him, mm-hmm. and Daniel Jones keeps doing this, then that is a, forget about how Giants fans feel, for the organization, that is a much bigger mistake than the Saquon thing. Because Saquon, a running back, is not going to make your team good. A franchise quarterback can change the entire complexion of the future of the franchise if Daniel Jones ends up being that.
Well, a running back makes your team good if you have other good parts.
Yes, but it starts with the quarterback.
Yeah, but
on offense.
From what I'm hearing about our quarterback, we got an average quarterback and anybody can play with this team.
In other words, that's a rarity.
It's a lot of that going on in the NFL nowadays.
I think if you were to ask franchises if you could have one position locked down,
sure,
it would be quarterback.
Well, yeah, obviously. I'm just saying, but a lot of that is wishful thinking, and you almost fool yourself into these quarterbacks being something that they really aren't. When if there's an obvious talent there, like a King Henry or Saquon Barkley, I think if you build around the team correctly, you don't necessarily need a top five quarterback to go win if you add the other parts as well.
Well, and if you have the right coach and the right coordinator and those things, which it looks like Daniel Jones finally has.
Yeah, I'm not saying running back, you just roll a running back out there and you win, but that's their fault. They took him early and didn't put talent around him.
Yeah, well, they you know, Baldy mentioned they have a decent offensive line now. Not at any point in Saquon's or Daniel Jones's.
Andrews, Pete, and who was the other guy?
Well, and they just drafted Evan Neal with the sixth pick of the draft.
Yeah,
he doesn't even play. He's terrible. Yeah. He stinks. Yeah. Coming up next, this has been, would you say this has been the busiest Eagles Insider of the Year week since we gave out the award in March?
Well, I think this whole beginning of the season has been, a lot of these local guys are finally vying for it. Well, Last year, they kind of pushed it off as a little joke, and then they saw Elliott win it, and they said, absolutely not.
Yes.
We have some pride around here.
And they're coming to play.
In a big way?
Yeah, they are coming to play. They're coming to play. And Elliott has his work cut out for him. He is finding out why it's so hard to repeat as champion.
Who has had a tougher start this season? Eagles offense?
Or Elliott?
Or Elliott.
Elliott's been okay.
Elliott's been fine.
It's just with the other ones competing.
He's got a lot of competition on his heels.
It puts it in perspective.
No longer a weak conference that he's in.
Nope. All right, so the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings are coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.